History has shown that the longer we ignore a threat, the more dangerous that threat becomes. Today, I am announcing our strategy, along with several major steps we are taking to confront the Iranian regime's hostile actions and to ensure that Iran never, and I mean never, acquires a nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
He's got him. He's got him. He's got him.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I'm going to repeat what the leader of the Islamic Revolution has said. America can't do a damn thing. America bombards Iran with heavy sanctions. Iran stops producing its own goods. Then America invades its neighbor Afghanistan, followed by its other neighbor, Iraq. Then, in Obama's administration, you tried bargaining your way in. You, America, created and funded Daesh to act as a proxy against Iran and its allies. Meanwhile, flooding Saudi Arabia with the biggest arms deal in American history. When all else failed, what do? You fall back on that good old American saying, they've got nuclear weapons, therefore we need to go and fight them. I'm just waiting for you to say, they need democracy. The world is wise to your schemes, you ignorant, stuck-up buffoon.
Our policy is based on a clear-eyed assessment of the Iranian dictatorship.
Here we go. You know, coming from a man who didn't even win the popular vote in his own country, that's pretty rich. The Democrat outpaced you by almost 2.9 million votes. That's 48.2% to your 46.1%. And that's only taking into consideration those in the country who actually did vote. All in all, only a quarter of the country actually voted for you, and you have the nerve to turn around and call somebody else a dictator?
Its sponsorship of terrorism and its continuing aggression in the Middle East and all around the world.
Yes, absolutely right, because Iran funded Daesh terrorists, formerly known as the Moderate Rebels of Syria. It was Iran that invaded Iraq in 2003, leading to the ruined lives of millions upon millions of people. It's Iran which has been bombing Afghanistan and Pakistan, leading to the death of over 149,000 people since 2001. And let's not forget, it was Iran, which had a hand in global conflicts and wars throughout the globe, such as Vietnam, Panama, Kosovo, Haiti, Cuba, the Dominican Republic, Lebanon. The list just goes on and on and on. I mean, clearly, Iran is just a disgrace. I mean, it's been filling the world with bloodshed, chaos, and mayhem since its inception, and it has the audacity and the nerve to point the finger at somebody else and call them the aggressors. Wait a second. That's not Iran. That's the USA! In fact, since 1776, the US has been involved, directly or indirectly, in armed conflicts, war and aggression for 224 years. That means it's given the world a grand total of 17 years of peace out of 241 years of its existence. And then it points the finger at Iran, which hasn't invaded another country in the modern era at all. But don't take it from me. University of Michigan professor and polemicist Juan Cole has said Iran has not launched an aggressive war in modern history, unlike the US or Israel. So who's the real aggressor?
Iran is under the control of a fanatical regime that seized power in 1979 and forced a proud people to submit to its extremist rule.
I think what you meant to say there, Mr. Trump, was that in 1979, the proud people of Iran rose up and overthrew the Shah, who was nothing but a puppet who was strategically placed in Iran to force the people to submit to America's fanatical world government dictatorship. And by the grace of God, a referendum was held over whether to replace the monarchy with an Islamic Republic. Imam Khomeini called for a massive turnout and only a very few people opposed the vote. The results show that 98.2% had voted in favor of the Islamic Republic. That's the true will and courage of the people. That's the spirit of those who truly follow Islam and will never submit to humiliation.
This radical regime has raided the wealth of one of the world's oldest and most vibrant nations and spread death, destruction, and chaos all around the globe.
Oh, Mr. Trump, you slimy, pompous entrepreneur, you despicable epitome of the hypocrisy of the United States of America and Western policy. You need to pick up a history book, man. You need to find out how America and Britain got its wealth in the first place. They are the true raiders, pirates, and usurpers of the planet. America was built off the backs of slaves. According to the Transatlantic Slave Trade Database, 12.5 million Africans were shipped to the New World. Innocent people who were snatched from their homes in Africa and used for free labor. America didn't only raid the wealth of other nations, it raided its people. Iran, on the other hand, is depending on its own national resources, which it has every right to use. Unlike America, which from the moment it came into existence, it was an imperialistic, colonial, murderous, rapist state, which grew through massacring others. I mean, let's talk about Christopher Columbus, a man who is hailed by American historians as the proud discoverer of America. Presented to American school children like like a hero, when in reality he was responsible for the brutal treatment of natives. Taino people of Hispaniola were once rich in gold and cotton, but America wanted it. According to the historian Gonzalo Fernandez, by 1548, just 56 years after Columbus landed, fewer than 500 Tainos were left on the island. That means that at least 249,500 indigenous people were massacred so that America could get its hands on gold and cotton and increase its military strength and dominance. Nothing has changed if you look at the way America invades foreign countries, even in today's world, for economic and worldly gains. Las Cacas records that when he first came to Hispaniola in 1508, there were 60,000 people living on this island, including the Indians. So that from 1494 to 1508, over 3 million people had perished from war, slavery, and the mines. Who in future generations will believe this? You won't believe it, because the same thing is happening today, and you're not believing it.
Beginning in 1979, agents of the Iranian regime illegally seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and held more than 60 Americans hostage.
Get over it, you big ugly baby. 60 Americans were held hostage and treated with the usual Iranian hospitality before being released totally unharmed, despite the fact that they were insurgents and spies plotting against the Islamic Republic. Just imagine if America had found Iranian spies plotting the downfall of the White House on American soil. Do you think that the CIA would have given them the same human rights as Iranians gave to American hostages? Yeah, I can see it now. Iranian hostages sitting in Guantanamo Bay or Abu Ghraib, sipping tea and sitting on raised couches, not being tortured or waterboarded by American security personnel or being killed. Even normal American citizens are bullied and harassed by the FBI for challenging or even questioning America's warmongering policies. Let alone spies.
The Iranian-backed terrorist group Hezbollah twice bombed our embassy in Lebanon.
Okay, let's get a few things straight here. In 1983, there was a suicide bombing in Beirut, Lebanon, that killed 63 people, including 17 Americans. The victims were mostly embassy and CIA staff members, but also included several US soldiers and one US Marine security guard. Not even going to go into why America seems to think it has the right to have a military presence everywhere in the world. You are not the global police. But let's stick to the facts here. Hezbollah never claimed this attack. There was an anonymous phone call to the press saying, "This is part of the Iranian Revolution's campaign against imperialist targets throughout the world. We shall keep striking at any crusader presence in Lebanon." That's almost as credible as a Hollywood action movie. And even that guy didn't claim to be from Hezbollah. But it was actually some other random group calling themselves Islamic Jihad Organization, not Hezbollah. In fact, it was Judge Royce Lamberth of the US District Court in Washington, D.C. in 2003, 20 years later, who randomly determined that Hezbollah was responsible. Nobody believes anything that comes out of your hideous mouth, Mr. Trump. And anyway, that's not even Hezbollah's style. If Hezbollah does something, rest assured, they'll come out and claim it themselves.
Another Iranian-supported bombing killed 241 Americans, service members they were, in their barracks in Beirut in 1983.
Okay, what the hell were American servicemen doing in Beirut? And why the heck should they have a military barracks there in the first place? Imagine if the Iranian president one day turned around and said, "America killed 200 of our soldiers in their military barracks in Washington." And again, this wasn't Hezbollah anyway. It was some other random organization called Islamic Jihad or something.
In 1996, the regime directed another bombing of American military housing in Saudi Arabia, murdering 19 Americans in cold blood.
So let me get this straight. 19 American soldiers, who, by the way, were positioned in Khobar, Saudi Arabia, and assigned to a no-fly zone operation in southern Iraq, get killed in Saudi Arabia, the home of Wahhabi terrorism, your best friend, and the official June 25th, 1996 statement by the United States named members of Hezbollah al-Hijaz as responsible? Is that a joke?
Iranian proxies provided training to operatives who were later involved in al-Qaeda's bombing of the American embassies.
Wow, see, now you're just digging so hard to desperately try and find some sort of act of aggression that Iran has committed that you've gone as far as linking Iran to Al-Qaeda, a far-right Takfiri group which has nothing but hatred for other Muslims, particularly Shia Muslims. You're trying to link these guys to Iran? Iran hates Al-Qaeda, just as it hates the American creation of Daesh. In fact, in 2014, the Quds Force, which is the Special Forces Unit of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, was employed into Iraq Iraq to lead Iranian actions against Daesh, and the Al-Quds force kicked Daesh's terrorist butts. Just as Al-Quds force kicked terrorist butts in Syria. With all the kicking of terrorist butts that Al-Quds has been doing, it's no wonder why America, which doesn't seem to like the kicking of terrorist butt, declared Al-Quds to be a terrorist organization itself. In reality, to suggest that Iran or Al-Quds force or the Revolutionary Guard has anything to do with Al-Qaeda or Daesh is absurd.
The regime harbored high-level terrorists in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, including Osama bin Laden's son.
All independent research indicates that 9/11 was an inside job. The American government, which blew up the Twin Towers in 2001, aspired to turn the world's hostility and attention towards Islam and Muslims. Even if we go with the official story, then where were these hijackers from? The majority of them were from Saudi Arabia, the nation which you just announced a record-shattering $350 billion sale of US-made weapons to. You're the one who has affiliation with these terrorists. You're the one who entered the 2017 Riyadh summit with your wife and your daughter. In 2016, when you were running for presidency, you'd gone on and on about nothing but
Saudi Arabia's role in the World Trade Center and the attack. That's very serious stuff.
Suddenly in 2017, when you become the president, you declare Iran to be the number one terrorist state. While in Iran, in Tehran, back in 2001, people were holding candlelight vigils for the victims of 9/11. You hideous disappointment. People deserve the truth, not the lies that have been regurgitated by mainstream media organizations and changed to suit the whims and fancies of American foreign policy.
The regime remains the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism and provides assistance to Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Hezbollah, Hamas, and other terrorist networks.
I know it can be lucrative to lie nowadays, but don't you feel a sense of moral obligation, or at least of responsibility in being president of a nation, not to lie? You're speaking so eloquently about the aggression of Iran without any actual evidence for your ludicrous allegations. Why not look at some of the acts of aggression which are on record officially, which the West has perpetrated, like how a British embassy report from 1932 admitted that the British put dictator Reza Shah on the throne of Iran. And of course, this has got nothing whatsoever to do with the fact that Americans and Britishers were putting their greedy little fingers into the pies of Iran from the very beginning. Just as they feel like they have the right to rule over everyone else's nations and wealth, financial consultant Morgan Shuster was appointed Treasurer General of Persia in 1911. People like Howard Baskerville, another American, who was involved in the Persian Constitutional Revolution. People like Arthur Milspoh and Arthur Pope. This kind of arrogant dominance is called hegemony, where somebody feels they have the right to oversee the affairs of another nation or another people due to their own apparent superiority. And just as a side note, Mr. Trump, you have no superiority. It's all in your head, you narcissistic fool. But I'm gonna help you out anyway. Here's a map. You see all the parts in red? Those are the parts that you're in charge of. The parts in green, you have no business there whatsoever. Oh, and by the way, the red part is debatable as well, since the majority of people didn't vote for you anyway.
It develops, deploys, and proliferates missiles that threaten American troops and our allies.
No, let's not forget, Mr. Trump, that in 1988, it was the US Navy-guided missile cruiser which shot down an Iranian commercial flight, killing 290 civilians, including 66 children. And just as you're habitually lying right now, the US tried lying back then, trying to justify their actions, claiming that Flight 655 was a warplane, and then saying that it was outside the civilian air corridor. Both these statements turned out to be untrue, even according to the Washington Post. So Iran isn't the country that targets civilians with missiles. America is.
It harasses American ships and threatens freedom of navigation in the Arabian Gulf and in the Red Sea.
Your freedom of navigation in the Arabian Gulf? What the hell does that mean? Does Iran have the freedom of navigation in the Atlantic Ocean? Can, for example, an eastern country just waltz over to American oceanic territory with a military vessel? I don't know, for a picnic in the middle of the sea? You know, near an American shoreline? No? Then why the hell should America have freedom of navigation in any land other than its own? Especially when, if any country's navigation should be restricted, it should be America's. In 1988, the USA launched Operation Praying Mantis against Iran. Can you think of a better name? It was the largest American naval combat operation since World War II. Even the International Court of Justice stated that the attack could not be justified as measures necessary to protect the essential security interests of the United States of America. This is what America is. Should a madman with a bazooka, a trigger-happy moron on steroids, be given the freedom of navigation into your homeland?
It imprisons Americans on false charges.
Imprisoning Americans? I'm pretty sure that's the habit of America, not Iran's. After all, America has the largest prison population in the world. The US Bureau of Justice Statistics shows that 2,220,300 adults were incarcerated in US federal and state prisons and county jails in just 2013. So if you're concerned, Mr. Trump, about Americans being imprisoned, it's not Iran that you should be looking at.
And it launches cyber attacks against our critical infrastructure, financial system, and military.
Your financial system? The United States has frozen dollars in Iranian assets, including bank deposits, gold, and other properties. Wealth, which again does not belong to America or the West, it belongs to Iran. And on top of that, America's imposing of heavy sanctions on Iran and thus limiting the Iranian people's purchases of food, spare parts, and medical products is only adding insult to injury.
But the previous administration lifted these sanctions just before what would have been the total collapse of the Iranian regime.
Wow, that's what you think? I hate to break it to you, Mr. Trump, but I've been living in Iran for about 3 years now, and the sanctions have had a minimal effect. Iranians are busy building the economy of the country. Engineers and doctors alike are pretty much content. Occasionally, while sipping tea, an Iranian shopkeeper will look up at the news where you're saying your usual drivel and say, "Hey, baba, che khare bad akhlaqe," shaking his head and going back to tending his inventory. Nobody's fazed by you, Mr. Trump. The leader of Iran had already predicted that America would go back on its deal. Before you even became president in November 2016, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "America is our enemy because of some clear reasons. As I said, by enemy, we mean American politicians and policies. They broke their promises on the issue of the JCPOA, and they threatened to impose more sanctions on us. The US presidential elections will take place in a few months. The current American administration will completely change, and there will be no guarantee that the future administration will honor the few promises that the current administration has made." And once again, you've proved him right.
The United States is far from the only target of the Iranian dictatorship's long campaign of bloodshed.
Iranian dictatorship? Holding office from 1951, Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh was an Iranian politician democratically elected by the people of Iran. He began the nationalization of the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company, established by the British to share Iran's profits. And by share, it means 85% was going to the British, while only 15% was left for the Iranian people. So Mossadegh tried to nationalize the oil industry so that Iran would be in control of its own finances. How audacious. In 1953, his government was overthrown in a coup d'etat aided by the United States Central Intelligence Agency and the United Kingdom's Secret Intelligence Service. I guess the West only likes democracy when it's under their control.
The regime violently suppresses its own citizens.
You should travel more, Mr. Trump. I mean, the truth is that following the American-British orchestrated coup, the United States gave $68 million in emergency aid and an additional $1.2 billion over the next decade in order to strengthen the brutal dictatorial regime of the Shah, whom the West had replaced Iran's democracy with. Back then, US and Iran were the best of friends because Iran was being a good little puppet. Iran, by obeying the whims and fancies of America, was suppressing its own people. There were those who refused to bow to America's whims, and so they rose up and overthrew the brutal dictatorship of the Shah and brought the Islamic Revolution of 1979, which we have today. And guess what? We're here to stay.
This regime has fueled sectarian violence in Iraq,
Surely you remember that America supplied dictator Saddam Hussein of the Ba'athist Iraq with several billion dollars worth of economic aid, the sale of dual-use technology, non-US origin weaponry, military intelligence, and special operations training. And you're saying that Iran is the one which is fueling sectarian violence in Iraq? Who created Daesh? Iran or America? But alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, Iran and Iraq, Sunnis, Shias, Muslims in general, got together to destroy the monstrosity of Daesh, which you unleashed upon the world.
And vicious civil wars in Yemen.
I think you're getting confused. I get it, too many, you know, Middle Eastern countries in the mix, even though you're reading off a teleprompter. But let me just help you out there anyway. Your best friend and ally, Saudi Arabia, with the help and support of America, has, according to the UN, massacred over 10,000 civilians, men, women, and children in Yemen, and has been bombing Yemen for the past 2 years, not Iran.
In Syria, the Iranian regime has supported the atrocities of Bashar al-Assad's regime and condoned Assad's use of chemical weapons against helpless civilians.
You guys did a pretty good job at trying to disguise the true affairs that went on in Syria. And you did your best to paint Assad as the bad guy through not only the mainstream media, but alternative media too. But has it really been about Assad being the bad guy? The fact of the matter is, Assad's government is anti-Israel, something that America just can't bear. Syria is part of the axis of resistance against America, Israel, and your proxy is like Daesh. That's the real problem that America has against Assad and Syria. It's got nothing to do with them being bad guys. Regardless of the absolute lies which are perpetrated by the mainstream and alternative media organizations, the truth is that Assad is part of the resistance which has helped to destroy Daesh. Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Axis of Resistance, has said America is angry at the defeat of the American-sponsored, funded, supported, politically backed ISIS terrorists in Syria. You just hate the idea of any kind of resistance against you. But rest assured, whatever you bring next, the Muslims will defeat that too.
There are also many people who believe that Iran is dealing with North Korea.
Yeah, many people also believe that you make a good president. Many people also believe that the destruction of the ozone layer doesn't exist. What the hell does that mean? Many people believe. And even if it's true, North Korea never harmed me. North Korea never harmed or bombed Iran. Why should they not have every right to have dealings with them? Because America doesn't like them.
The regime's two favorite chants are death to America and death to Israel.
Yeah, you're damn right it is. And you forgot that Britain and the Saudi regime are also on that list. The leader Ayatollah Khamenei himself has made it very clear that the Death to America slogan is rational and has strong support. It is clear that it does not mean death to the American nation. This slogan means death to American policies, death to arrogance. In other words, death to you, Mr. Trump, death to the White House's foreign policies, and death to the arrogance for which America preys on the wealth and sovereignty of other nations like a greedy fat pig. Death to the blood-sucking system of capitalism, which continues to make the poor poorer and the rich richer. Death to the so-called democracy, which translates to nothing but submitting to the Western powers. Fight the power, death to your proxy groups such as the Taliban and Daesh. You will see American citizens themselves burning American flags because they've recognized what America is. You can attack, invade, pillage and plunder any land you so desire, and if someone turns around and says death to you, suddenly they're the bad guy? I don't think so. The most chanted slogan in the world by free-spirited freedom seekers is death to America.
The Revolutionary Guard is the Iranian supreme leader's corrupt personal terror force and militia, plotting to bomb a popular restaurant right here in Washington, D.C.
What are you talking about? I know you might not believe this, but Iran has its own food restaurant corporations and restaurants. It doesn't need to bomb yours. You're so desperately trying to make people afraid of Iran. No, they're gonna bomb our burgers. Like, what are you talking about? People of America and the rest of the world are well aware of the fear tactics used by the American system.
I am announcing a new strategy to address the full range of Iran's destructive actions. First, we will work with our allies to counter the regime's destabilizing activity. Second, we will place additional sanctions on the regime to block their financing of terror. Third, We will address the regime's proliferation of missiles and weapons that threaten its neighbors' global trade and freedom of navigation. And finally, we will deny the regime all paths to a nuclear weapon.
See, now I'm struggling to think of a country other than the United States of America which has ever used atomic or nuclear weaponry against another nation. When the USA bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki within the first 2 or 4 months following the bombings, the acute effects of the atomic bombings had killed 90,000 to 146,000 people in Hiroshima and 39,000 to 80,000 in Nagasaki. You see, in reality, America is the one that needs to be stopped. You, Mr. Trump, are the real axis of evil. And as much as you might go on about how North Korea or Vietnam or Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan, however many countries you have accused in the past of being the bad guy, the truth is that you, Mr. Trump, and America are the true threat to peace, freedom, democracy, and justice everywhere on Earth. But in the end, despite all the allegations that you want to make against Iran, and regardless of all your plots and schemes and your very best efforts, the fact of the matter remains that, as the leader of the Islamic Revolution says himself, America can't do a damn thing.